On this mini Super Tuesday, or Super Tuesday 2, as some are calling it, will Bernie Sanders, yes, Bernie Sanders, survive after the votes come in tonight? We'll talk about it today and more on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So there's one state that we don't really have a lot of polling on, but in Idaho, Sanders did win in 2016. Biden is up 4% there. Biden up 21 to 24% based on polls out of the in the Michigan primary. Sanders won there in 2016. Missouri, voting today, Biden up 22 to 30%. Clinton won that in 2016. Mississippi, Biden's up 55%. North Dakota, no available polling. Sanders did win North Dakota in 2016. So I get that will, again, it depends a lot on turnout. And Washington State, now this is one Bernie Sanders should be literally running away with. And maybe the polling's off, and maybe he will, because I think it comes down to really Michigan and Washington State for Bernie Sanders. The rest, he you know, you can kind of win or lose. And but if he gets beaten by 20 plus points in Michigan and loses a Pacific Northwest Democrat primary, he's in serious trouble. Than I think if you add those two together, a big loss in Michigan and maybe eking out a victory in Washington State, even, but eking it out so where you're splitting delegates, Bernie Sanders' campaign is effectively over.
Yeah, for a couple of reasons, Jordan. First of all, they're the biggest delegate hauls available today. But secondly, at the beginning of this process, when Senator Sanders laid out a roadmap to get the nomination, Jordan, these two states would have been very high on the list. States he won last time around. Now, last time around, some of the polls did show him way behind in Michigan as well, and he came back to win that state. But Jordan, I would tell you that these are both states that he needed to win by double digits. So the fact that they're even close is saying something. But look, if there's any chance at all for him to get the nomination, at least barring, you know, some unforeseen catastrophe, something to really shake up the race, those are two states that he has to have. And I tell you this, Jordan, he's actually got to cut into Joe Biden at some point in the process. Those two states would not be cutting into Joe Biden states. Those would just be claiming states that Senator Sanders knew he needed to win from the very beginning.
So, folks, if you're in Idaho, Michigan, Missouri, Mississippi, North Dakota, Washington State, make sure you vote today. I'm seeing in the chat people who've already gone and voted this morning that live in those states. But this is, again, 352 delegates up for grab for Democrats. Remember, President Trump also in the ballot there because he does have to officially win the nomination again, that he has no serious contest there. And then next week just looks even worse for Bernie Sanders. I mean, it's Arizona where Biden's up 28%, Florida where Biden's up 47%, Illinois, Biden's up 30%, and Ohio where Biden is leading by 7. That's another, like Michigan, where you got to wonder, would Bernie try to move on and say, well, we'll make Ohio the place? Hard to do if he gets crushed in Michigan. Now, if he has some kind of comeback in Michigan, we're not going to get on here and say that he's over. And a comeback could be an effective tie. But that's not really great for him. And neither would an effective tie be in Washington State either. We're taking your phone calls on that, 1-800-684-3110. And the president's response as well to the coronavirus. You know, I asked you yesterday on the broadcast, I want these calls to start coming in as well. How it's affecting your life, or how you are making changes, or are you making changes? And does it depend on where you live and what's been happening in your community? 1-800-684-3110. The president has proposed a payroll tax cut. He also wants to make sure that those who got infected or are infected don't miss a paycheck, to also help hourly workers and embattled industries such as airlines, cruise operators, and small businesses. The question is, will the House Democrats move on a payroll tax holiday or payroll tax cut that could, again, put more dollars into the pockets of Americans during this time when there's an uncertainty, or they feel like they need to stock up on goods? And, you know, you may need to pay for more child care because schools are closed and things like that. But how is it affecting you? 1-800-684-3110. And do you think Joe Biden emerges as the perfunctory Democrat nominee after tonight? 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Back At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Folks, as we take your calls, they're coming in on coronavirus. They're coming in on the primary tomorrow. Than Bennett, who is basically a daily part of this radio broadcast, hosts this radio broadcast, heads our office in Washington, D.C., and an office of government affairs, as well as our work at the United Nations in New York, has written his second book. And this is a book that's different than the books you would expect from those of us that you hear on the radio broadcast often. The book is My Fame, His Fame. Now, tomorrow we said you could pre-order it. Yesterday we said you could pre-order it. Today the book is in bookstores. It is available online. I know that my Amazon, I already know that they're on the way to my house as we speak. I got the notification here, track your boxes. And that's right, Stan. It's a box of them I got. So that's a start there. It's MyFameHisFameBook.com. If you go there, you'll learn about all the different places you can get the book as well. Ebook, the paperback as well, and it's in bookstores today. So, Than, let's go right to it. My Fame, His Fame, it's out today. This is not about politics. It's about your faith. For our audience who knows you primarily as our government affairs director and may not know you personally or what drives you, why did you decide to write your second book on faith?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jordan. It's one I get really at the outset of pretty much every interview I do on this, because most of my visible life, right, is done in the public policy space. But the truth is, Jordan, about 20 years ago, I felt God very specifically call me to write for Him. And I'll just be honest, for 15 years, I ignored it. I disobeyed it because it wasn't in my plan for my life, Jordan. And then on April 19th, 2015, I will never forget the day, there was a sermon that my pastor gave asking the people listening to say one little yes to God, and I knew God was again asking me to write. So I made a commitment on that day, Jordan, to do what God was asking me to do, and I basically made a deal with God. I said, I will obey, I will write, but then it's up to you what you want to do with it. Jordan, it's been about almost 5 years now. It'll be 5 years on April 19th since that day. And this is now the third manuscript I've written, the second that has been published. I'm grateful to my friends at HarperCollins Christian Publishing for putting it out. But then I would just sort of give you a short answer to your question about politics. I do care a lot about sound policy, Jordan, because the decisions that come out of this town, they have the impact of life or death around the world. They really do. But I never want to be a political guy who also has faith, Jordan. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ who happens to be called to the field of public policy and politics. So I hope by God's grace I never get those priorities mixed up, but that's why I write, and today is a very specific sign of his faithfulness as this book is on bookshelves.
Yep, so again, you go to myfamehisfameabook.com. You can purchase, you'll find all the different places you can order online. You can also go to your local bookstores or the big bookstore chains and purchase the book there as well. And again, it's My Fame, His Fame. So let's get into the book. Right away from the title, you write that we were made for fame. So this idea about fame, not a word often associated with the Christian walk. You know, we're taught to be kind of servant leaders. But this idea that are we supposed to shun fame, embrace it? I mean, it's kind of funny because we're on a radio broadcast right now talking about how we, you know, we're experts on all these different things. But from a theological perspective and the research that you've done, and kind of, I think it was cool how you explained how you've been going about this process over years, kind of working through this and on these manuscripts and putting this out. But you know, what is that about? Because I think people will see what is this fame that Than is talking about?
Yeah, I think it's probably a little bit of a shocking title for people who follow Jesus, right, Jordan? Yeah. Because it's not the first thing that you would expect. Look, I don't think there's much argument that we have an obsession with fame in our culture. It's one that's wrapped up in platforms and visibility and notoriety, and it can be pretty destructive, Jordan. But I think it's a little bit of a two-edged sword for Jesus followers, because we know that we're supposed to resist that type of fame, the one that's centered in ego. But Jordan, we're still universally drawn to some type of fame. And as I got into the research on this, I really do believe that the Word of God suggests that we're drawn to fame because we were specifically made for it, Jordan. Now, we weren't made for the type of fame that you and I have been talking about here. We were made to be vessels of God's fame. It's the fame that God called to Abraham, said he would make him a great nation. He said he would make Joshua's fame spread through the land, and he specifically called Habakkuk to proclaim God's fame. That's really the story that the book is rooted in. And then the prophet Isaiah said, the people who I formed for who? For myself, for God, that they might proclaim my praise. So Jordan, yeah, we don't live lives that are for our own fame, but I do believe we were literally created for the purpose of being vessels that could acquire God's fame, that could amplify God's fame, and then who could carry it to a world in need and who God wants to reach. Jordan, I think we were made for that fame, and that's the case that I make in the book.
Yeah, Katie on Facebook just wrote in to you, Than. She said, Than's first book inspired me to stand stronger in my faith and step up in my community. I'm looking forward to his new book. So already, like, our audience, Wes, familiar with Than's writing on this. It's different than what people expect from kind of the ACLJ gang, if you will. But you also are a minister by background. You're military service, but also as a military chaplain, and currently. So I know you've been reading the book, and you've got some questions for Than, too.
Yeah, I do. It's really a good book, Than. And the thing that struck me about it is that it contains some very profound principles for how we order our lives day by day. And yet it's very easy to read. I mean, it's easy to understand and get your hands around it. I'm interested, though, that you chose Habakkuk as the centerpiece of the book from which these principles come. One of my favorite books of the Bible, by the way, one of the minor prophets, I say, who had a very major message. And, for example, when Paul writes later on that the just will live by faith, he's actually quoting Habakkuk chapter 2. But I'm curious as to why you chose this particular prophet and extracted the principles, you know, from this particular book of the Bible.
Well, Wes, it's great that you are a fan of Habakkuk, because there aren't too many people that even knows he exists or has his own book in the Bible, so it shows you're a man of faith. Look, he doesn't get attention, but Wes, he lived in times that are a lot like ours today. They were times of great conflict and a lot of strife, and Wes, I relate to him because he was anything but steadfast and fervent in those times. And in fact, he had the audacity to confront God, and he actually blamed God for the problems that he saw around him. And I think I've done that for a lot of my life, Wes. But as I looked at his story, a couple of things happened when Habakkuk confronted God with his concerns. First of all, Wes, God welcomed that confrontation, and I think there's a lesson there. It was almost as if God had been waiting on it. He'd been desiring Habakkuk to come to him with the problems, and he could handle sort of the blame that Habakkuk brought to him. But then second was God's response when he did confront God. God said, Habakkuk, I've been here all along, and my power and my fame and my glory have been ready to address the problems that they see around you, but they've been waiting on something. They've been waiting on you, Habakkuk, and the rest of my people to carry that fame to a tangible world. So, Wes, the inspiration is, I think the parallel to our time is very specific. I think God wants to move in our world in tangible ways, but he needs his vessels, the pinnacle of his creation, to be willing to carry that fame for him. I think, Wes, in a very real way, God's hand sometimes is stayed because he's waiting on you and me to step forward and say, okay, we'll be the ones that carry it to the world you want to reach.
Yeah, and part of it, too, that struck me, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, how you arrived at this particular thing. You really, you know, make the point that we can be utterly, completely honest with God, and we're not going to be struck by lightning. Talk about that a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Habakkuk did. He actually blamed God for the problems he saw around him. He confronted him. He was not fervent. He was not reverent. He went to God, and he demanded that God have answers. And Wes, I think we sometimes walk away too easily. The main reason that God created you and me was to have a relationship with us and to dialogue with us. And that's for the good and the bad. He longs for us to bring those things to him. It is that relationship that he's after. And at least for me, Wes, I've walked away too easily. You know, God has given me a partial answer, or he's given me maybe even what I asked for initially, and I'm satisfied with that. And Wes, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to go to God and say, I want more of you. I want more of your power in my world, and I want more of your presence to reach those around me. So I think a little bit of audacity is okay. I think the God who created us is big enough to handle that. And I, for one, want to have the boldness to go to him and not only ask for more, Wes, I want to expect more of him. And I guess the flip side of that, though, is when he pours it out, I've got to be willing to obey. I've got to be willing to walk in it. And that can be the tricky part. Still working on that, but that's the goal.
That's so true.
All right, folks, a lot of people are asking, where do I get this book? MyFameHisFameBook.com. And Than, it's also in bookstores today. But you can get the book at MyFameHisFameBook.com. You're doing a live signing event, too, I think, as well, if you want to tell people about that.
Yeah, we're going to do a Facebook Live launch event tonight at 5 o'clock. I appreciate the use of the studio for that, Jordan. We're going to be right here for about 30 minutes. We'll be giving away some live signed books. But yeah, I stopped by Barnes & Noble on the way to work today. They are on the shelves. So if you're in the Alexandria, Virginia area, you might actually find some signed copies. But yes, they're also still online. All the book places books are sold. But if you go to MyFameHisFameBook.com, it'll have all the retail options, and you can pick your preferred one. And it should arrive probably by tomorrow if you order online.
All right, MyFameHisFameBook.com. We're going to talk about it more. If you got questions for Than about the book, get those calls in, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get into an ACLJ issue we come back as well. New brief we filed, Defending Life. We get back to Than's book. We're going to talk coronavirus as well, the economy. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. Remember to support the work of the ACLJ. The matching challenge month of March. Double the impact of your donation by donating online at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. I remember two second half hour coming up as well. So keep those calls coming in. A lot of calls on the coronavirus. I understand that. That is the top issue along with the economy. And it's all tied into government politics, government leading the efforts, state governments internationally, what's happening with countries that have taken action. We've seen school districts close in counties. We've seen some kind of severe restrictions, even by private businesses, like a big tennis tournament in California, a pretty high level one, just below the majors of the four major tennis tournaments. The one out of Indian Wells, this is one that usually be packed, sold out. And what I believe it's a mixture of, it's not like they didn't have the corporate sponsors in line. This is Larry Ellison's event. But that one, I bet those corporate sponsors, if you're Rolex, you don't want your Rolex logo up next to an empty stadium or a stadium where everybody ends up with the virus. And then two, the tennis players themselves are international. So they've all been in these countries that have had issues. I think, so you're starting to see that effect. You're starting to see the travel effect in Israel where, you know, we have a call.
You can't get in.
Yeah, let's take the call to that call drop, because it was a call about where Israel was saying they were closer to being able to test a vaccine. Israel has now put up a 14-day quarantine for anyone coming to the country. If you're a citizen or non-citizen, doesn't matter. To stay there, you have to be immediately quarantined for 14 days.
They have quarantine facilities. So if you were a tour group going over right now,
it's impossible.
Really. You would literally be quarantined for 2 weeks.
Before you started your tour. So you really couldn't do it.
Correct.
And I would guess the only people that do it, if your kids are there, your family's there, you have to get back there, because waiting it out may get worse to get back in. And Italy has a nationwide quarantine, because we talked about yesterday.
It was originally just the north.
In the north, left before the quarantine went into effect.
Yeah,
they left. And so they said, okay, if we're going to have the spread here, we're at least going to keep it to Italy. And they're only allowing essential travel. And now it's very difficult to go in or out of the country.
The market is acting very erratic. So yesterday it dropped 2,000 points. Then it was
biggest
up
in 12 years.
Yeah. Then it was up today 900 points. Then it was down 200 points. Now it's up 300 points, which means this is, you know, again, we're not giving any kind of financial advice, but as someone that's been around this for a long time, these are emotive reactions to the market. That's what this is. If you look at particular companies that, let's say, their stock sold last week for $150 a share, and this week it's $112 a share, that's $38 a share. What changed significantly with these big companies in that period of time? Nothing. It's the emotion reaction to what's going on.
I think Maria's calling Marilyn on line one, because she's talking about the emotion reaction from the other side, which is the supplies available to people in the stores, which I think on its own can create a crisis feeling. When you see an empty shelf, they say you can't buy toilet paper, they don't have hand sanitizer, people. New York's saying now they're going to have to.
Georgia Economist says she can make her own.
Well, that's what New York is.
With vodka.
New York is manufacturing its own hand sanitizer. Such a, and they have, you know, because of the city.
It's good.
There. But Maria, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Yes, that's my question, is that people are forgetting the that there's other people out there that need these supplies as well.
Yeah.
And the other day I was at the store, and one of the workers there said a woman came in and bought the whole entire shelf of toilet paper.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is an overreaction, and I think it's an unfair reaction to love the other person more than
yourself. Let me tell you what it does. It creates a chain reaction, because all of a sudden you walk into the... Pam did this yesterday. She showed us Pam and
Kroger
and Andy and Georgia and I had dinner last night, and Pam said, here's a picture of I think it was Kroger. And it was at the hand sanitizer, or was it at the toilet paper? I can't remember which one it was.
Both. Two aisles.
Nothing there.
Yep.
Now, do we really think in the United States we're going to have a shortage of toilet paper? I mean, seriously.
Possibly.
I mean, it would have to be...
Because of where it's produced.
Yes, but we can produce toilet paper in the United States if we have to.
That's the issue, is a lot of this stuff just needs to start being produced.
So what has to happen is, I'm sure that all of this is... Now, listen, I am one, because of my age, I could speak for three of us on this radio broadcast right now, for Wes, me, and Andy. You know, the one of the things that's concerning about this is males over 62 are having the more difficult time, if they contract it, getting over it. For good, I'm glad that it seems not to be impacting children, at least at this point, much. And women do not seem to have the same reaction to it. Again, we're not scientists, but these are just the facts that are going on TV. So people are reacting. Yeah, it's understandable.
We're going to keep talking about this, too, for those of you hanging on the line in our second half hour. So hang on the line there. That'll start in just a few minutes. But we do want to talk about an ACLJ case because we've got work going on right now at the ACLJ, not just coronavirus. And listen, we use the broadcast as part of our work. We want to inform you as best you can about the issues that are going on and the knowledge that we have on those issues, which we're not scientists, but kind of this idea of mindsets of people, politics, how the government's responding, all of that. Of course, we have direct knowledge of that. But we've got a case at the Supreme Court, too. You know, life is still moving forward. Courts are still open as we speak right now. Yep. As we speak right now, they're still open.
Well, I mean, I was checking to see because I've got a Supreme Court argument, three of them actually at the end of March, and we're wondering, you know, will
it's a pretty close court, though.
They pack them in.
Almost say no visitors.
They could say no visitors. I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's three cases involving the president. The case I want to talk about that we just filed a brief on does not involve the president, although it involves his administration, and that is the ACLJ has vigorously opposed these contraceptive mandates being put on Catholic institutions and Christian institutions generally that would be opposed. And the administration came out with an accommodation to accommodate the sincerely held religious convictions of these various charitable groups that they don't have to have insurance facilities available that include contraceptive. There's other ways for the individuals to get it. The immediately, of course, challenged, which took place here. But what we did in our brief, and I'm working on another brief right now for the president's cases, so this is a nice reprieve, this brief on religious liberty, is we track some of the history of what, going back to Thomas Jefferson, who really is one of the founders of the whole concept of religious freedom in the United States, and Andy, he had some great, great statements about a group of sisters, nuns, that were concerned when the United States acquired Louisiana that their religious practices and institutions would not be guaranteed.
That's right, Jay. This was the Ursuline sisters who came. The Ursuline order was founded in Brescia, Italy in the 16th century, has been around since the 1500s, and it was founded for the education of girls and for the protection of the sick and the needy. They arrived in the United States in Mobile, Alabama in 1719, and they came to New Orleans, became part of what ultimately was the Louisiana Purchase in 1727, and they were under the protection of Pope Pius III and King Louis XIV, and they were terrified that with the Louisiana Purchase, something would happen to their rights and to their liberties and to their work. And they wrote a letter to Secretary of State James Madison expressing the concerns that the Jefferson administration would not respect the rights they had enjoyed prior to the Louisiana Purchase. And Madison said, sharing the president's words, grateful sentiments we have to you and your religious persuasions that so laudably diffuse themselves. And what did the president respond? The president himself, Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, wrote, I have received, and look what he calls
this
them,
is great.
Holy sisters. This is not a Catholic president of the United States. The letters you have written me whereon you express your anxiety for the property vested in an institution by the government of Louisiana before. And he says that I give you a sure guarantee that they will be preserved sacred and inviolate, and your institution will be permitted to govern itself according to its rules.
And we use that letter as a basis to develop our legal argument about this kind of religious accommodation. And it's filed with the Supreme Court in the United States. So, you know, we quoted during the impeachment trial a lot from the founding fathers. We're doing that generally as well.
Yep. Folks, remember, we've got our matching challenge right now. That's just one example of the work the ACL is doing in the month of March. Donate today. Your donation is doubled at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org the entire month of March.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So we're going to get back into Than's book. We've got a caller about that, Julie in California. In just a few minutes, our next segment, we're going to get to you because we're going to talk about Than's brand-new book out today, My Fame, His Fame. Again, you go to myfamehisfamebook.com, myfamehisfamebook.com. I will tweet that out too so people know where to find it right after the show, and put it up on social media. Guys, put that up on my Facebook page as well so people can find that, so people know where to go. And to purchase the book, you could order the book online. You could have pre-ordered it yesterday. You could order it online today, get it delivered very quickly, and you can get it in the bookstores. We're going to talk to Than more about it all week, but especially today as the book has released. And it's no small thing to have your second book published in a pretty short amount of time, I must say, for Than. And this is outside of his work at the American Center for Law and Justice. It's not a book on politics or a book on government or law, but again, this is a book on faith. And again, we're going to get into it. Next segment. I do want to just cover today what's going on politically. We've got Idaho, Michigan, Missouri, Mississippi, North Dakota, and Washington State all voting today. One of those is a caucus, North Dakota. The rest are primary. That's 352 delegates up for grabs. I'm watching most closely, of course, Michigan, where I think if Joe Biden does win Michigan and polling could be off, but if he wins it by double digits and some of these polling showing him up even 20%, Bernie Sanders is done. But if he adds to that even a eking out a victory or a tied kind of situation in Washington State, Than, I mean, Washington State, Bernie Sanders can't win the Democrat primary, then people even around on the left are rejecting socialism.
Yeah, no, it would be absolutely over. I mean, people need to think about what the status quo is, Jordan. The status quo after today would be if Bernie Sanders wins Washington and Michigan by a wide margin, Jordan. If he wins both of those by a wide margin, and then Joe Biden takes most of the others, they're going to get about the same delegates out of today. And so Joe Biden is going to remain several dozen delegates ahead. That's the status quo, Jordan. If the status quo goes even further towards Joe Biden, that would be anything close in Washington, really anything close in Michigan as well. And if he wins one of those, then it's for sure a widening gap. But again, just to keep the status quo in the race where Joe Biden has a several dozen delegate lead, Senator Sanders has to win both of those two biggest states. Jordan, if he loses even one of them, it's off to the races.
1-800-684-3110 if you got questions on COVID-19, the election, Than's book as well. We're going to get into that in the next segment. And then, of course, get back into the COVID-19. We're going to have a little bit, take one of those calls right now, though. Lori in Florida. On line four, Lori, Florida has had some effects of COVID-19. Some people have passed away. It's not like Washington State yet, but you do something interesting. I want you to tell people about.
Yes, hi Jordan. Thank you for all you do.
Thanks, Lori.
Today, I've got the opportunity to share the Eucharist with folks at a nursing facility, and I was concerned that we weren't going to be allowed to do that with that vulnerable population.
Yep.
But fortunately, Administrator Verma had said the CMS was going to put in some new guidance, and they did. We were screened. We had a questionnaire we had to fill out, and they took our temperature and recorded it, but we were still able to go in and minister to this vulnerable population. And so they were able to still receive visitors, which I think is a blessing.
You know, this is, I think it's great as long as we can continue on to do what we need to do. And I think that, you know, we all have to make those calls. Nursing home will make its calls. People are vulnerable there. And the more testing that becomes available, I think people, again, I think it calms things down. Right now is not one of those moments, though. Certainly. It's just not one of those moments right now because there isn't widespread testing available yet, and we're seeing some pretty extreme actions by other countries. And it may be that in your community, there's been extreme action taken, whether it's the cancellation of events, of school. We haven't seen it on a countrywide basis yet. There's no travel ban in the United States or flight ban yet. But there are to some other countries. You can't go to Italy. And if you want to go to Israel, you've got to be in quarantine for 14 days. So most people are not going to do that unless you have to. Absolutely. I think if you have to, that would mean, like, you know, if my wife and kids live there, that would be the reason I do that. That's about it, is like to be with your family. You wouldn't do it. You'd move a business trip at that point. You'd move your tour. So again, 1-800-684-3110. We come back as well if you want to talk about Than's new book, myfamehisfamebook.com. Out today in bookstores everywhere and available online to purchase. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Than Bennett has got a brand new book out. Our director of government affairs, a regular Jay Sekulow Live, oftentimes hosts the broadcast as well, including during the entire impeachment trial. Walking you through that while we were on the floor of the Senate, doing an excellent job there. His second book out, not on politics, not on government, neither have been, but on faith and what drives his work, what drives his passion. But we all have different passions. So again, myfamehisfamebook.com. You can find out about the book, where to purchase it online, or which stores are carrying it. Dan said he stopped by his local Barnes & Noble. They had it out today. And so it's in bookstores today, as well as you can get it online. I want to go, Dan, to the call. There's a call about your book. Julie in California, on line one. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you so much, Jordan. Dan, first of all, this is one of the reasons I support ACLJ, because we have such men of faith who are working on the team. And
thank you.
No wonder the results are so excellent.
Thanks, Julie.
You're welcome, Jordan. When I read through the book of Habakkuk a long time ago, the last three verses of that book just hit me like a ton of bricks. And it's called A Hymn of Faith, the last three verses in the book. And you could basically say it about today, that though the stock market is crashing, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. My question for Than is, what did he write about in that last three verses in his book? Did he talk about it? How did it impact him?
Than?
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Julie. This goes back to the conversation that Wes and I had about Habakkuk. You know, Habakkuk was asked to make a proclamation about God's fame when he didn't see any evidence of it coming to fruition, and he had to do it before there was evidence, and he makes this amazing proclamation at the beginning of chapter 3. It's Habakkuk 3:2. It's what this book is rooted in, and he says, "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." And that proclamation, Julie, became the catalyst for the promise of God that was to come. But the verses that you're talking about, yes, they did inspire me, because it was God's promise to answer that proclamation from Habakkuk. Now, interestingly, Habakkuk had to go through a tough time. There was some calamity that happened in the land before this promise of God came to fruition. But I'll just read that verse that you mentioned, Julie. It's the very last verse of the book, and it says, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. So yes, it inspired me, and it was a promise from God that if we will put ourselves in the path to be willing to retake his fame on and to take it to a world in need, in the end, his promise is to set our feet on the heights and to make us successful for his fame. But again, for Habakkuk, Julie, it was a promise that was not realized until he stepped into the call that God had for him.
So I think, again, Julie, it's excellent. This is going to be a book you're going to really enjoy. My Fame, His Fame, book.com. Again, it's in bookstores today. It's by Than Bennett. It's his second book on faith, theology as Christian faith. And again, I encourage all of our listeners out there to purchase this book, maybe purchase one for their friends and family. Ebook available as well, wherever you purchase your ebooks. It's, again, MyFameHisFameBook.com. Than, in the book, you encourage people to move beyond saying, I believe my God can do it, so that, you know, putting it all on God, and instead say, do it again, God, but use me. So what's the difference there?
Yeah, I mean, for most of my life, Jordan, I really have been content if I had proper beliefs, right? If I put my trust and faith in God, I kind of thought that that was enough. And I'm starting to learn that that's not really enough, or at least there's a lot more there for me to have than just a knowledge of God. God's looking for people, Jordan, that instead will call him into our situations. He's looking for people who are willing to actually carry out his plans for the world around us. So I'm really trying to move beyond just a place of saying, I believe my God can do it, into one of calling him out into our world. I say it in the book, do it again, God, and use me. And I kind of sum it up, Jordan, by reminding people the world doesn't need us. It needs him. It needs the Creator. Here's the thing, though. He has intentionally designed us to be the way that his goodness and his power and his fame interact with the world around us. And he's deliberately done that, Jordan. He's entangled his fame with us because he desires relationship with us so much. So the difference between that is just, it's really the difference between a head knowledge, a profession of belief, and an action-based call for God to intervene. And then being willing, Jordan, for the inconvenience of when God does pour out his power and his fame, he's probably going to expect us to be the ones that carry it to the world in a tangible way.
All right, folks, again, 1-800-684-3110. If you got questions about COVID-19, got questions about the primary tomorrow, got questions on the economy, questions on politics, we're going to get back into that, and what the ACLJ case on Little Sisters of the Poor, the fact that we're still fighting that abortion pill mandate all the way at the U.S. Supreme Court. Get your calls in, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, you know, Than, one of the things that I took away from the book as well is, you know, you talk a lot about being honest, you know, to God and confronting God. And that candor before God becomes a part of our commissioning to actually be God's voice, God's hands, God's feet in the world. And as you and I were discussing earlier this morning via email, it reminds me of the fact that as people of faith, that we cannot hide from God, but on the other hand, God will not hide from us either.
Absolutely. It's what he desires more than anything, Wes, is interaction with us, relationship with us. And, you know, one of the things that I've gotten from the title of the book and then also from people who haven't gotten all the way through it is wondering if I'm advocating for a human-based approach. And the answer is definitely not. I mean, the answers to the problems that I see around us in our world definitely come from God. But, Wes, he's chosen to make us the vessels. He's chosen to make us the way that they interact in a tangible way. And I just think through the commandments that we have very practically in Scripture to love our neighbor and to feed the hungry and you know, give water to the thirsty and confront injustice. On down the line you go, Wes, God's fame is the answer to all of those situations. It's not. We don't have the solutions. God does. But none of those situations get addressed by God's fame and his power unless it first flows through us. He's designed it that way. He has been intentional about it that way. And the world does not see him, Wes. The world sees God as sort of a figment of their imagination, or maybe, you know, maybe just a vapor or something that's intangible, until we make it tangible, until we become the connectivity between God and the people that he wants to reach. And look, in some ways that was an admonishment to me as I was beginning this research. But now, as it's something that I'm trying to walk out, Wes, it's one of the most amazing things you can imagine, because what could be greater than the Creator of the universe saying, I have a plan to reach the world, to reach people in need. And guess what my plan is? It's you. It's you and it's me, and I want you to carry out that plan. So it's humbling, Wes, but it's also extremely exhilarating, and that is what I want to walk in more. That's what I hope readers take away from the book.
1-800-684-3110. My Fame, His Fame book.com. Than, the idea here that, because people know you from government affairs, they know you from talking about politics and what's happened on Capitol Hill and hosting the broadcast. And we're on a lot of faith radio. We're also on conservative talk radio. And this portion of the show is on both, I know, throughout the country. But this is, again, taking a book of the Bible that sometimes doesn't get enough attention. And I want to just, because people may not have heard that first half hour, may just be joining us. So you're focusing on Habakkuk. And I just want to go back to that, because that's where the title comes from. This, people that may be joining say, what is Than talking about with this My Fame, His Fame? Let's explain it to people one more time.
Yeah, it's rooted in the story of Habakkuk, this Old Testament prophet who is frustrated with his culture, Jordan, and he wanted to do something about it. And he went to God and he blamed God's absence for the problems that he saw around him. Jordan, the two takeaways that I lay out in the book is that God welcomed that confrontation. He welcomed that dialogue. He engaged with Habakkuk. He didn't recoil that Habakkuk was blaming him, but then he commissioned Habakkuk. He said, you want these problems to be addressed. I'm willing to address them, but my plan for addressing them, Habakkuk, is you. Part of the reason that I've been absent is because I've been waiting on you to carry it. And I think that call is still alive for you and me today, Jordan, and for all the people within the sound of my voice. We are the way that God can reach the world. And, you know, you ask about the connection to my policy work and the work we do here at the ACLJ. Jordan, all of us are assigned different things, and they're very important. They're the way that God's fame and his power work out in a practical world. And that's very much at the core of this book. It doesn't diminish my work in the political space. In fact, it informs my work in the political space. And, you know, The people listening to us, they might have any number of other jobs, tangible, practical ways that they interact with the world. But Jordan, I think this message is for all of those people, because we are all called to different things, but hopefully we are all using all of those leverage points for one aim, and that's the glory of the fame of not us, but of the God who created us.
Folks, again, My Fame, His Fame book.com. If you have questions for Than about his book, just more about it, of course, call in 1-800-684-3110. Questions on COVID-19, questions on what the ACLJ, the work on this abortion pill mandate. My dad will be joining us again. He's coming back into the studio as well. We're live today. We're following the stock market, following everything that's happened. 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we're in a matching challenge month. Matching challenge month of March, which means whenever you donate to the ACLJ, it's effectively doubled. Double the impact of your donation today at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. It's how we do this broadcast. Bring it to you every day, all around the country, and by video. And check out MyFameHisFameBook.com.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
This is an interesting call on COVID-19. I'm sorry we didn't get to the caller from Montana. They had said that even in their home state, which so far had not reported one single case, and Montana, a place you could, is not got the, it doesn't have the major, major cities. Where
that's
it,
right.
Report. But even there, she saw mass buying, panic buying.
I just got an email from a friend of ours in Virginia saying it's panic buying.
And in Northern Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. And then and Sharon's got this question calling from Pennsylvania. I mean, this is the kind of question where I think the government's going to have to step up and answer for us. It's because putting too much on people to make the call. Hey, Sharon, you're on the air.
Hi there. How are you? Hey. Thank you for all that you do. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Sharon.
My question is, we are to travel to Florida next month in April, and I saw this morning where Florida is now under state of emergency, and I know the media has taken everything out of control. I know God is in control, and I'm not sure. Does this mean that...
You going in Florida? Where are you going to be in Florida?
We will be in Pompano Beach.
Okay. So outdoor events mostly or vacation?
It's a wedding. It's a wedding.
Okay. Well, I mean, look. I mean, again, none of us here are medical doctors. We're doctors and other, a lot of other degrees.
And by the way, the state of emergency, because she did want to know, like, does it stop her from traveling there?
Not this point. So, look, April's a long time away.
Yeah.
So what I would do is what I'm telling friends of mine is I would monitor it carefully. I was supposed to be at a big event next weekend, for a friend of ours whose 90th birthday's coming up, and there's going to be about 1,000 people there. They canceled it.
Yeah, you didn't have to make the decision. Sharon, you may not have to either. I mean, right. I think you follow closely. And again, I have a family event too this weekend coming up cross country. You know, you follow it closely. But as of now, those are kind of like events that you go to. I think if it's just travel for travel's sake, they're telling you not to do that right now. The government has made that pretty clear. Travel for travel's sake. Don't do. But, Dad, we do want to update people about what the ACLJ has been up to.
Yeah,
because
so,
none of this has stopped the ACLJ's work.
No,
the courts are still operating all over the country.
All over the world. And we mentioned the brief that we're filing at the Supreme Court on the life issue. But right now, in fact, Andy this afternoon and Harry Hutchison are going to be reviewing a 30-page legal brief going into the International Criminal Court on another issue. This one's involving Israel.
That's right, Jay. We are going to be involved in another brief that we... to continue the work that we've been doing at the International Criminal Court. This is a request by the prosecutor to make criminal investigations into Israel. This is a person who is hostile to Israel, the prosecutor, in favor of a Palestinian state, in favor of, in my view, the eradication of the state of Israel. And she is using the International Criminal Court as a mechanism to justify her actions. This is Fatou Bensouda. Let's call out the names of the people that are involved. She is not a friend of Israel. She is not a friend of the United States, for that matter, as far as I'm concerned. The ACLJ, through our European arm, the ECLJ, is going to be filing a brief. We have all looked at it. To the last ones that are going to look at it, other than you, Jay, who ultimately will sign off on it, will be me and Harry Hutchison. So we are continuing our work at The Hague on these issues.
So that brief's about 30 pages. At the same time, we're going to go from The Hague. I'm going to take you to a case that we've got in Wyoming. Talking about Wyoming.
Yep.
A child was told by that Fellowship of Christian Athletes could not meet on the public high school campus anymore because of the principal's decision. He said there'd be an alternative location. None has been sent. We sent an email. We're getting the information together, and we're preparing necessary legal work on that one as well. I can go through another list. A student gave a presentation. This is a case out of New York. At a public school, which included a mention of a religious belief in her faith in Jesus, the teacher refused to issue her a grade. So we're not going to give you a grade. We're getting more information about that one, and that looks like that one's going to turn into a case. We are getting a lot of calls about what to do with the school closings and how that's going to impact legally their time in school and all that, but that's a state-by-state decision that's going to be made. We've got a zoning case for a Baptist church that we're looking at right now in New York as well. In Ohio, we're dealing more with that mindfulness issue. I mean, on and on it goes, and I'm looking. This is, by the way, this report that I'm holding in my hand, you can't see it on radio, but it's about, I don't know, probably it's 65 pages. So if you're watching on TV or Facebook or Periscope, wherever you're watching on social media, this is for a week. This is a week of the contacts and requests that we've had and the information that we're working on right now. We've got a case right now, City and County of San Francisco versus Azar. That case is an HHS regulation. That case is going up right now. Now, on top of all of this, as Andy mentioned, we've got a case going to the International Criminal Court in The Hague that's going to be filed literally in the next, I think it's the 16th, 15th.
Yes, it's due on Monday.
So we're talking about less than a week. So the work of the ACLJ is going on in great detail, but we're in a matching challenge. And look, this is a fluctuating month because people are worried about the economy, because the stock market's taking a bit of a hit with all the coronavirus issues. So we're cognizant of that, but your support of the ACLJ, Jordan's going to let you know how to do this. But it is really, really critical that we hear from you on this. And I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You know, it's not just the cases. And I just gave you a sample of just from this week of what we're working on. I'm sitting in also working, and I've got three cases, and I'm arguing for the president at the end of the month at the Supreme Court. But Jordan, it's also this radio broadcast.
Absolutely. I mean, this radio broadcast, we bring it live every single day. We've got a team. I wish I could like turn the cameras around and show you the team working on it in there so that you see us, so that we get the best news, so that we're up to date. The camera, the televisions that we have on in here to stay up to speed with what's happening around the world, all the different screens and all the different experts we have available to us who work for the ACLJ, who aren't just guests of the broadcast, but they work daily for the ACLJ and come on and share their knowledge with you for, you know, 15, 20 minutes as guests of the broadcast. But they are full-time with the American Center for Law and Justice. So, again, we're able to bring all of this to you and do all of this work because of your support only. Only because of your support. Only because of your donations to the ACLJ. There are certain months of the year, matching challenge months, where you can really make an impact. So if it's your first time ever donating, or you're a regular donor who hasn't donated recently, or you donated a few months ago, maybe at the end of the year, but haven't donated yet this year, again, why is it a great month to donate in the month of March? Because you effectively get to double the impact of your donation. That these matching challenge months are for real. People need to understand. So if they donate $25 right now,
we get 50.
That's all they're charged. But we do get 50.
Right.
If they donate 50, we get 100. They've only donated. They're all they're charged on their credit card. Don't want people to get confused. You're not getting charged double. We have a group of donors that will match all the donations that come through in the month of March.
And it's also important to point out, and I think we've mentioned it, but this broadcast, which again you can't see, what do we have, about eight folks back in our production part of the studio here. And this is a full, you know, you're listening on radio, most of you, but the hundreds of thousands of you watch us on TV. And probably with the re-airs on TBN and the other networks, it's probably close to a million. Your support of the ACLJ keeps this broadcast on the air. So when you hear commercials during the break, they're usually not our commercials. That's for the local stations. Our support for this broadcast comes from you. So if you enjoy, then there are millions of you watching, listening right now. If you enjoy this broadcast, let me encourage you to go over to ACLJ.org and show your sign of support. Donate any amount. If it's because you want to support the radio broadcast, if you want to support the cases around the globe, the analysis we're able to give, we encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org. And as Jordan said, we're in a matching challenge. So any amount you donate is matching. And also, don't forget Dan's book.
Yeah, MyFameHisFameBook.com. I'm tweeting it out right now. I got our teams that are going to put up on my Facebook page as well, so you know where to go, but it's MyFameHisFameBook.com. It's got all the places you can purchase the book online. It's also in bookstores today. So go out, support Than on his second book. Again, this is what it looks like if you're heading to the bookstore and watching online. MyFameHisFameBook.com.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.